The reading of God's Word on this third Sunday of Advent from the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the second chapter, the 10th verse. But the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. Several years ago, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution did a front page story around this season of the year titled, "Japan Goes Wild for Ho-Ho Holiday." And the story went on to explain how in Japan, in this season of the year, there is a holiday that they celebrate. They call Kurisamasu, which we call Christmas, a holiday that is a big deal in a country where less than 1% of the population is Christian. Most Japanese are either Shinto worshipers or Buddhist worshipers, and yet in this country where less than 1% of the population is Christmas around this season of the year, you go to Tokyo or any other large city in Japan and you would think that you were in Birmingham. You would see big crowds at the shopping malls. If you were able to be with a family around this season of the year, you would go into their home and you would see the home decorated much as you would expect here in Birmingham. Christmas trees, wreaths, red ribbons abound. And yet, in spite of all of this festivity, there is, according to the article, this real lack of understanding as to what Christmas is all about. The writer did an interview with one 70-year-old woman who explained how her family began to celebrate Christmas. Their daughter had been in the States and had come home with having experienced Christmas here in America and thought that it would be wonderful for her family to do so. And so in her neighborhood, they started a trend. They put up a tree, a wreath on the door, ribbons abound, the exchanging of gifts. On the front of their apartment, they had a flower pot shaped like a Santa. And as the woman explained, "It's just a good time for us to be together as a family." And in the end, she said, being together as a family. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? Well, yes, Christmas is an important time for families to be together. I know many of you are looking forward to having family come home for Christmas, or either you will be going to visit and be with family in this season of the year. Yes, Christmas is indeed a time when families come together, but at the end of the day, Christmas is so much more. Essentially, Christmas is about welcoming the birth of God's Messiah into this world and the immeasurable joy that comes to those whose hearts are open to receive Jesus. The immeasurable joy. If there is one word that to me signals the deep, essential message of Christmas. It has to be that word joy. I mean, look at the songs that we sing in this season of the year. Each of them is filled with joy. We sang this morning as the opening hymn, "Joy to the World, the Lord is come." We sing in this season of the year, "Good Christian friends, rejoice," even if we have to change the words to be politically correct. We sing, "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." We sing, "Joyful, all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies." I mean, you get the picture. I could go on and on and on and on, but joy really is a big deal, not just in the songs that we sing or the music that we play, but in the message that we celebrate. You look at the note of joy that the gospel writer Luke sounds as he recounts the story of the birth of Jesus, God's Messiah, Christ the Lord. It has joy all in it, joy all over it. As God, according to Luke's description, orchestrates the events of the birth of Jesus to get Joseph and Mary from Nazareth in Galilee all the way down to tiny Bethlehem in Judah, because the joy of Christmas points to the manner in which God brings events together to fulfill ancient prophecies that God had made years ago, almost 800 years ago to be precise. You go back to the prophet Micah, who uttered the prophecy in the 8th century before Christ that in Bethlehem, tiny Bethlehem in Ephratah, the Messiah would be born. Bethlehem, the hometown of David, the city of David, would be the place where the Messiah would be granted to the world. Bethlehem, the place of joy. And so Luke sets the story of Jesus' birth where God had said it would take place. And the attention is directed to the shepherds. On the surface of the story, as you look at Luke's account in the second chapter, it seems on the surface as if there would be nothing to see in this story. As the story begins, the shepherds are in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. They don't expect anything of significance to happen. They're going about their business as they do every day. And in the midst of their everyday, ordinary lives, an angel appears, not just any angel, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord appears with an important announcement, an announcement of both comfort and joy, because experiencing An angel of the Lord was the last thing the shepherds would have expected. The angel's first words are words of assurance. "Fear not, fear not." They are also those words, the first words that God utters any time there is a divine interruption. "Fear not. This is good. This is a good thing. For behold," the angel says, "I come to bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, tiny Bethlehem. A Savior, which is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. Great joy. I'm taken by that expression. In the Greek, the word is mega joy. Literally, that's the word. Mega joy. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of mega joy. Sounds like a Christmas toy, doesn't it? But when you think about your little life and your ordinary existence, your everyday experience, when, pray tell, was the last time you experienced anything that approached what might be described as mega joy? The reason that the note of joy is such a big deal at Christmas is because of how it points to the possibility of this deep delight that takes place in us whenever we experience God's presence in Jesus, not just in this season of the year, but in every season of the year. You look at the lives of so many people today and how they live, and their lives are mired in misery and despair and disappointment and disillusionment, and they can't, for the life of them, seem to extricate themselves, lift themselves out of the depths in which they have fallen. No matter how hard they try, they fail on every attempt. And in large measure, it's because of this misguided belief that somehow, when we speak as people of faith, as followers of Christ, when we speak of joy, we're somehow talking about mere happiness, as if happiness and joy are synonyms. They mean the same thing. They patently do not. Happiness depends on circumstances. If you get what you want, what you ask for on Christmas morning, you're going to be happy. And if you don't get what you asked for or what you were hoping for, you're not going to be very happy. You're going to be sad. And the fact of the matter is that not just on Christmas morning, but on so many days as we go through our lives, circumstances and situations begin to move in a direction that will not, cannot, will never lead to happiness. And as a result, many people, because of how life has turned against them or dealt them a heavy hand, feel as if happiness is something they can never know. But joy, that's entirely different. What Luke is trying to show us is how, in the midst of ordinary, everyday existence, when people are just going through their normal responsibilities, when there is no reason to expect anything of deep significance, when the situation and the circumstances seem to be pointing toward nothing of monumental worth, in those very times, God interrupts, God shows up, the angel of the Lord appears in this story with an announcement and an invitation for people to open their lives to possibilities they might never have considered possibilities that come through an openness of our little lives, our ordinary existence, to what God might do in us and what God might do through us, and this deep delight, this profound fulfillment, this immeasurable joy that takes place because our little lives become filled with the presence of God. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of mega joy, which shall be to all people the invitation that each of us receives. Is the invitation to choose joy. To choose joy for ourselves. And in the face of whatever may be before us, whatever circumstances or situations we may be facing, to open our lives to the possibility of God's presence, which we celebrate in the birth of Jesus in this season of the year, and to see the difference that it makes. The joy that comes to us once we welcome Jesus into our lives. Listen, brothers and sisters, this Christmas, joy, God's joy, God's mega joy, is a gift that you can give to yourself. A gift that you can give to yourself. You've got your list, and all the people on your list that you want to give a gift to, that you need to give a gift to, and you've been checking your list. But have you thought about the gift that you're going to give to yourself? Well, that seems awfully selfish, not this gift. Because once you open your life to the possibilities of God's presence and the joy that comes through your acceptance of Jesus, the favor that God bestows upon you will inevitably become a favor that you bestow upon other people. And you'll be able to bless them as you would never be able to do with a material gift that you would offer. The gift of joy is something so much more precious. But it is a gift that begins with you. John Maxwell is a leadership consultant. Was a minister for many years and sort of morphed and evolved into leadership circles, secular as well as religious leadership circles. And in one of his books, he tells of a time he was serving the local church, and around this season of the year, he was going through the church offices and just wishing everyone a Merry Christmas. And a number of volunteers from the church had come in to help with some special Christmas emphasis, and so he made sure that he made his way to where the volunteers were busy as bees. He was just wishing Christmas greetings to all of them. He encountered one lady who had a real smile on her face. On the surface, it appears here's a woman who's really happy. And so he asked that volunteer, are you about ready for Christmas? And she looked up from what she was doing, and with a smile on her face, she said, oh, almost. I've just got one more Care Bear to stuff. One more Care Bear to stuff. So Max will assume that, you know, this is a grandmother and she's stuffing Care Bears for her grandchildren as Christmas gifts. I dare say every one of us has been in a situation or a circumstance where we've made an assumption and it's turned out not to be true. So he makes the assumption that this is a grandmother and she's stuffing Care Bears for her grandchildren. So he asks the question, it's a reasonable question, well, how many grandchildren do you have and are you going to be together for Christmas? And she says, no, I don't have any family that I'll be with. And all of a sudden, her countenance changed at the thought of being by herself at Christmas, no family to celebrate the holidays with. And then, of course, you know, the pastor opens the door and she just barges right through and she begins to unload on him about her dysfunctional family system and the mess that it's been and the heartbreak and rejection she has encountered over the years. And then, just as quickly as her countenance changed from happiness to sadness, changed again. Maxwell said in a much deeper way, it changed again. She began almost to shine with a light of joy as she explained to the pastor. But I don't let that get me down, she said. The fact that my family has rejected me, I don't let that get me down, she said. I decided that if my family was going to turn on me, I was going to find a new family. And so I went out and I adopted some grandchildren. And these Care Bears that I stuff, I'm stuffing for the grandchildren that I claim as my own. And Maxwell thought to himself, here is a woman who has made the right choice. And of all the gifts that she could give to other people, including these adopted grandchildren, she has given herself perhaps the most important gift of all, the gift of joy. Fear not, the angel said to the shepherds, for behold, I bring you good tidings of mega joy, which shall be to all people. And it can be a gift that you give yourself if you will choose it. And what do the shepherds say? Hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. This morning on this third Sunday of Advent, you've got a choice to make. You can choose the path of joy. You can open your life to the possibilities of God's presence in you. You could receive the favor that Jesus was born to provide. Or you can give in to your circumstances and your situation as discouraging and depressing and miserable as they may be. But if you choose the way of the shepherds, when Christmas comes, you will receive everything that you ever hoped for and more. And a gift of immeasurable joy that nothing or no one will ever be able to take away. What a wonderful Christmas gift that would be. One, that in your faith you gave to yourself.